Well, J.D. Vance and Van Jones are in agreement. J.D. Vance, of course, being the vice presidential candidate running with Trump, and liberal Van Jones, Lee.
So a capitalist and a communist agree.
Yes, they agree that the Democrat Party has an anti-Semitism problem. And J.D. Vance said that he felt really bad for Josh Shapiro, that he had to spend the governor of Pennsylvania, who happens to be Jewish, had to spend the last few weeks, quote, running from his Jewish heritage, unquote. They even had his military service in the IDF scrubbed from his Wikipedia page. So you used to be able to be proud that you had that Israeli heritage as well, and you went and served in the military there. Now you've got to have them censor it for you, so that no one will realize you're Jewish, or it won't stick out, because Democrats don't like that, apparently. J.D. Vance said that yesterday. He said it's just really sad that he had to scrub his heritage to try to fit in, and it still wasn't good enough. Van Jones said the same thing, that the Democrats are going to need to have a reckoning over this anti-Semitism.
But you also have anti-Semitism that has gotten marbled into this party. You can be for the Palestinians without being an anti-Jewish bigot, but there are some anti-Jewish bigots out there. And there's some disquiet now, and there has to be. How much of what just happened is caving into some of these darker parts in the party? So that's going to have to get worked out. It's going to have to get talked regard. But
so he's saying, how much of what just happened? Look, Josh Shapiro is who they should have run with. They need Pennsylvania. They need Michigan. And he would have really helped them lock Pennsylvania. Instead, they're running with a candidate who offers them nothing.
For a state they were already going to win.
They were already going to win, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Why? Because they were so afraid that the street mobs of Democrat grassroots that are funded by Iran, as John Kirby admitted, spokesperson for the White House, admitted last week, that they would make them mad and they wouldn't show up at the polls. And a lot of folks pointing out, including Van Jones, look, he got criticized for being pro-Israel. And folks were saying, yeah, there's a lot of Democrats that have been pro-Israel in the past. None of them are getting criticized. It's just the Jewish guy. Yeah, because he's Jewish and they didn't want him because of it. So it's wild watching this go on. Just that open anti-Semitism when just, a year and a half ago, they were still accusing Trump of being an anti-Semite, which was, of course, fake. But that was still considered a slur. Now, I don't think you're going to catch the Democrats calling Trump an anti-Semite because and I'm not joking, Lee, I think they'd be afraid some of their base might vote for him. That's not a slur anymore. Okay. That's just very normal in the Democrat Party. Well, we don't want one of those Jewish guys, really. And what other major political party can you think of that had a real streak of anti-Semitism going through it that really sort of spun out of control? Only one comes to mind.
Yeah.
Didn't end well. Ended in World War II. Meanwhile, interesting what is going on here. Just this sort of anti-Semitic civil war inside the Democrat Party. Cori Bush lost her seat. Remember,
yes,
that squad? Great to see that.
In a primary.
Right. Now, the person replacing her is also a lunatic.
Yes,
okay, so I want to say that up front.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this is, we're talking about St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell. So he's nuts. But he's not an anti-Semite. At least there's no proof he is. I mean, he's a Democrat, so we never know for sure. But Bell, he beat Cori Bush with $8 million in pro-Israel, pro-Jewish money in that race, one congressional race. So that is a massive spend by,
yes,
Jewish groups.
Yeah.
And what they're doing right now is they're essentially going through these Democrat primaries, and they're taking out person by person some of the leading anti-Semitic voices in the Democrat Party. Interestingly,
like Kevin McCarthy used to do to conservatives, right?
Yeah, like that. Yeah, exactly.
I thought you'd appreciate that reference.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I know. Sorry, my right hand starts to shake a little when you say Kevin McCarthy, so I gotta work the tremor out. And then I remind myself,
yes,
he's never coming back. It's over.
That's,
it's
right,
okay. I don't have to live it again.
Yes.
So anyway, But yeah, $8 million dumped into that district, and they ran a lot of commercials against her to defeat her. What's interesting is none of them brought up Israel, Jewishness, or anti-Semitism. They focused on other issues. Why? Because if they tarred her as an anti-Semite, she might have won. That's where the Democrat Party is, Lee. So Jewish voters want to remain, clearly, at least these big money Jewish voters behind these PACs want to remain in the Democrat Party. And so they're purging it one by one by one by one.
And two down.
Yeah, well, you know, wish them luck.
Yeah.
It's a big job ahead. I mean, $8 million ahead, it's going to be costly to do that. Or, you know, they could just join the 20% of Jewish voters who are Republicans. Yeah. And then they wouldn't have to worry about
that.
Yeah,
there is that.
They wouldn't have to worry about it. And, you know, Van Jones admitting it on CNN, that was definitely big of him. But this is a problem for them going forward. It's a big problem. Because you know how they are, Lee. If they get away with doing something once, they want to do a more and more and more extreme version of it.
Yep.
And what this Shapiro thing just established, and it's not going to change, what it just established is if you're Jewish, you can't be a major Democrat Party candidate. You could have when he ran in Pennsylvania. Those days are over. They disintegrated over the last 18 months. That, you know, good luck running in the primary as a Jew, unless maybe you disavow somehow. I don't know. I mean, did you see what Ben Stiller said? Did you see the video?
No, I did not.
He's Jewish?
Yeah.
He said every Jewish man secretly wishes he could be black.
What?
Yep.
I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's like, you know, that's kind of a weird statement to say.
It is, but he said it. So, I mean, I don't know going forward. What was your impression of this whole wall situation yesterday? Were you surprised he was picked? What do you think?
Yeah, that was the least likely. Yeah. Of the ones that were out there. And I know you and I were both a little concerned about Mark Kelly because, quite honestly, he has some appeal to some people who may consider themselves, as I saw the phrase, Kamala curious Republicans, which I thought
Kamala
was a
curious.
Yeah, I forgot who said that, but I saw that quoted somewhere and I thought that's an interesting phrase. But it's like, I'm sorry, if you're curious about Kamala, you're not a Republican. I mean, because we know what Kamala is, and she is not in any way a Republican, let alone a moderate Democrat. And I just don't understand people that would think that. But anyway, yeah, you know, we were concerned about Mark Kelly is what I was saying, and Shapiro to some degree as well. But I just don't see where the political benefit is for.
There isn't one.
And it's like you were saying, I think you mentioned this on your the Battle of Ground America podcast yesterday. Nobody else will take the job, apparently.
Nobody who has any future in the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
They don't want to be tarred with her.
Because, you know, Gavin Newsom obviously is holding out for 2028.
Oh, yeah. He wants to run. You could tell.
Yeah. There's no question about that. It's just that, you know, he's going to wait for, I guess he's hoping for Kamala to crash and burn.
By the way, did you see yesterday on Twitter, Tampon Tim was trending? Tampon
what?
Tim.
What?
Yeah, no, because he signed a bill to mandate tampons in boys' restrooms.
Okay, all right.
Right.
Okay. Now I understand the reference. Okay.
Yeah, because some boys have periods. In Minnesota, they do.
No, they don't.
So, yeah.
Tampon.
There you go. This guy is just, he's a gold mine. You know what? Such so much of a gold mine that J.D. Vance gave a 22-minute speech yesterday. It was really good. It's a question and answer session, completely unscripted with the media. You know, something Kamala Harris hasn't done in 17 days.
Right.
And may never do again. I'm not sure. And that's, you know, that'd be the first question I ask her as a reporter. When will you resume speaking to the media? And can we count on you to talk to us ever if you're president?
Yeah.
Or no? We'll just find out your dictates as they come down like a king.
Right.
But J.D. Vance just says an aside yesterday, he was talking about Walz and like how excited he was about running against Kamala, because this is like the, you know, the weakest team they could possibly assemble. And he said, don't put it past the Democrats to still switch him out. Vance said it.
Wow.
It was like a throwaway line. Yeah. And he said, I know they can't, technically, according to the rules. And he's like, but don't put it past them. It's the kind of thing they do. That is still in my mind.
Yeah.
It's still in, I like, and again, I can't explain to you how they would do it, but rules, norms, and laws have never applied to Democrats.
Well, that's
right.
Absolutely. We've seen plenty of evidence of that.
Yeah. And so it was just a throwaway line from J.D. Vance, but it was almost him like talking out loud, maybe when he shouldn't have, almost like, geez, you know, I hope they keep them. I hope they don't get rid of these two. So that tells you what the internal Trump polling says.
Hmm.
Are you one of my listeners, my original listeners? You know, this show is 10 years old now. Bobby Mack and I piloted the station back then. And one of the first things I walked into when I got here was the elites in this state wanted lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of money to build state roads. But they wouldn't say which state roads they were going to build. And Bobby Mack and I marshaled our forces, got you guys to call. We defeated the first gas tax. So they came along with the second one. This time they were more specific. They did have a list of roads and they actually had an amount they needed to collect, $1.9 billion. And they had millions of dollars from road contractors who wanted to get rich doing it to spend. So we went to war and they won, barely. Before they finished, they spent money defeating legislators who would tell you the truth about the gas tax, that we didn't really need it, that the state easily could have afforded to build those roads. Why? Because we've had billion-dollar surpluses year after year after year. What was the total bill? $1.9 billion. We've easily had that just in surpluses, but they wanted to loot the Treasury because they're really Democrats in Colombia. And so we lost. After explaining the second time around how we didn't need it, we had plenty of money to build state roads, we lost. And a lot of folks lost their seats over it. A lot of good representatives, they just got steamrolled with road money, with donations for their opponents by people who wanted to build the roads that we didn't need new tax for. But they said we were going to have roads, right? And that was the one silver lining. We were going to have roads. Well, of the 26 cents a gallon that you pay, turns out they lied. Only about 4 cents comes back here. Yeah, they kind of mentioned that at the time, that that's how it would work. Greenville got robbed, and I mean robbed, by these rural legislators. They have no tax base, right? So what do? They robbed us blind. Well, we choke in our own congestion. 26 cents a gallon, my gosh. It wouldn't be bad if we got new roads. We need them desperately, right? And if we actually needed them, didn't have the money. If we actually needed the tax, didn't have the money. None of those things were true. So what the gas tax actually was a Bernie Sanders-style scheme to redistribute money from the gas pump, from your wallet, to some rural legislator. Why? There's more of them than there are of us, and they vote together to rob us blind. So what does that mean? Almost none of our state roads got funded. Bobby Mack and I were right. I wish we weren't. I wish we'd beat it the second time. Almost none of our state roads got funded. They lied. They, like, totally lied. And now, every time you pay that gas tax, again, 26 cents a gallon, goes somewhere else. If someone else doesn't have to pay, because, you know, you're made of money. You got plenty of money, right? Well, now, because Greenville County supported, at the time, the gas tax, they're screwed. And there's no money to fix state roads, because all that money went out east into rural areas where you and I don't live. So, guess what? They're back again for more money. Now, I'd be willing to have a debate about this if it was to fix county roads. I mean, I'd be willing to hear what they have to say. I don't know if I'd support it. Dozens of roads on the list are state roads. They're hoping you don't notice. They're state roads that go through here. And there's no way to fix them because we got robbed blind with the state gas tax. So now they want another sales tax. 1 cent, because you're just made of money. And because they failed miserably to get a good deal. Folks, remember who supported this? It was all the right names. It was the chamber. It was all those people. Oh, it's going to be great. Didn't ask for the details, though, apparently. And it was to build roads in some other county far, far away where you and I don't live. They screwed up. Now, South Carolina, according to Census Bureau, one of the top three destinations in the nation to move to. And our roads are jammed. So guess what? They want another sales tax to pay for the same dang roads. Not different roads, the same state roads that the state tax was supposed to pay for, but now never will. So yesterday, the Greenville County Council voted to rob you blind again. So the question on the ballot should read, if it was honest, would you like to pay a second time to fix the roads, to expand the roads, to improve the roads that you thought you were paying for the first time with the state gas tax, but we screwed up. Now, why do they need this? Why do they need this? Well, one of the few sources of money, if you want to run for the county council, is developers. And developers like to build lots of new houses, but not any of the roads to support said houses. So we should have gone with impact fees. That would have forced of some kind. I mean, we should have increased them as we grew so that the people moving in here would pay for the impact of the people moving in here. But this is South Carolina. We never do anything that makes sense here. You'll learn that if you're new. So here we go. The question on the ballot, and yes, this money will pay for some county roads. But the question on the ballot is, would you like to pay for some county roads and pay a second time for some state roads? Because we got screwed the first time by the same leaders who are going to come out and endorse this and tell you it's going to be the greatest thing. Give me builders and chamber and all those people. Ah, it's great. Stupid. Stupid. Now, here's the really weird thing. You're actually technically going to pay a third time. Because remember, there's $1.9 billion sitting in a bank account right now in Columbia. The people who run this state, can I level with you, aren't the brightest. They're really not. So that money ended up in the bank account. They still can't figure out how it got there, so they have to hire a forensic accountant. But the good news about it, $1.9 billion is pretty much exactly the amount the gas tax at the state level was supposed to raise. So you know what we should do? So we got the money, it's sitting right there. That money ought to pay for the state roads in this county. And in other donor counties too, we should finally get the state road funding we were promised and that we pay for every time at the pump. So I am not for this 1% sales tax increase. They have done an absolutely abysmal job of figuring this out. And I just don't feel like paying a third time for state roads. And I'm not even convinced living in this state that somehow, some way, I'm not going to have to pay a fourth time for state roads. I just feel that I will. I feel like I'm going to have to pay four, five, six, seven times and I still won't get state roads, either expanded, paved, or improved. I have a funny feeling about it. So we have the news this week. I'm still reeling from it, even though I predicted it. 250 terrorists from international terrorist watch lists and wanted lists. These are people shot by Interpol, okay? Some of them. Come into this country. They're either caught or they turn themselves in to the Department of Homeland Security. And 99 of them are released deliberately into American communities. There's been so much crazy news this week, this got buried. This is a shocking moment in American history. The moment where you realize Democrats really are serious about us coexisting with terrorists, who I think they believe are freedom fighters and future Democrat voters. So we had the story the other day, no Democrat voter terrorist will be, you know, left at home. Got to bring them here. Got to keep them here. Got to release them once we have them. So this is not an accident. There's a congressional committee that was investigating this. They got the documents turned over. This is not oopsie, the terrorist slipped by the border guard, or oopsie, we didn't realize he was a terrorist. They knew and they let him go anyway. It's been 2 days since this broke. So far, I can't find any evidence anybody's asked Alejandro Mayorkas about it, or if they have, he's stonewalling them. I don't know. Everybody dropped the story. But I want you to picture an America that works like this, because it's beginning to emerge, the shape of this. Something we haven't seen anywhere. I don't think we've seen anywhere in a Western country for certain. I don't know if we've seen anywhere in the world. A country so divided that one party deliberately lets terrorists into the country. Terrorists that want to kill the leaders of the competing party. Instead of apprehending them, they let them go. They let them wander around. And because that first party that's decided it's cool with terrorists coexisting with us is in charge of the security and guarding the life of the member of the second party, they can make it very difficult for the member of the second party to go in public and survive. And they're all in on it together. They're all in on it together. Folks, imagine for a moment you're Donald Trump or you're a Republican candidate. You've got to trust the Secret Service run by a Democrat administration to protect your very life. And after what happened last month, there's not a lot of really good reasons to trust them. And then in the back of your mind, you start to worry because you realize the country known to be sending assassins to kill you in your inner circle, that'd be Iran. They've sent not one, but two assassins. We caught them both. The latest was from Pakistan. God knows how many more there are out there. That same country, Iran, when it's not sending assassins to kill you, is sponsoring the Democrat Party's street shock troops. How would you feel about that? On the one hand, Iran is partnering with the Democrats to fund those violent street riots you've been watching. That's not my opinion. White House spokesperson John Kirby admitted it, but said, yeah, they're funding some of them, but not all, so it doesn't count. So on the one hand, they're working together, co-funding Democrat activists who like to beat up cops and tear down property, march, scream, and intimidate Jews, right? Together, working together. By the way, where did Iran get this money? Joe Biden. In 2023 alone, Joe Biden freed up $10 billion that had been frozen for Iran. So what you're watching is a massive money laundering scheme. The money gets freed up. It goes to Iran. Iran funds all its proxies. It slaughters Jews on October 7th and rewards the Democrat Party by pushing the money back into the grassroots of the Democrat Party in America. Would you trust either of those groups? We're supposed to, Donald Trump's supposed to trust the Democrat Party to keep him safe? From who? Iran? While Iran funds Democrat grassroots activity? How's that going to work long term? And if you leave the border open and let all the right assassins through, they'll get the job done for you. Folks, this is a problem. Anyway, we just caught the latest assassin, a Pakistani national with ties to the Iranian government, charged with one count murder for hire as part of an assassination plot that targeted President Donald Trump and other current and former government officials on their side. Just as strange, there's no assassination plots that we know of against Biden or Harris or any kind of Democrat. Isn't that weird? I mean, we foiled the second assassination plot. The first one was in 2021. That was Iran too. After it put a fatwa, death order, on Donald Trump and 14 of his closest compatriots, advisors in the Trump administration. Do you know there's never been a fatwa against the Democrats? No. Not against Biden, not against Harris. Iran's cool with them. Thumbs up. No, they're here to kill Trump. And they keep trying. Which makes this all the more pernicious now that I've set it up. This whole time they've known this fatwa was in place. It was put in place in 2021. After declaring Iran and no less than the Ayatollah Khomeini on his Twitter feed that he intended to kill Donald Trump and 14 others, including the former head of the CIA and the former head of the State Department, Mike Pompeo. What did Biden do? Well, rewarded Iran. That's why they think they can do whatever they want. By unfreezing the first tranche, billions of dollars. Looks like a reward to me. I mean, how would you take it if you were the Ayatollah? Let's see. I just threatened to kill the former American president and high-ranking members of his cabinet, and Joe Biden gave me billions of dollars. You know what that means. Democrats are cool with it. So you start sending assassins, because why wouldn't you? And then you're Iran. You're Iranian intelligence, and you watch this segment on Fox News of Jesse Waters, and you tell me what you'd think. You tell me if you wouldn't send a whole squad of assassins right now to do what it sure appears the Democrats want you to do, and that is take out Donald Trump and anybody who supports him. Take a listen to Jesse Waters, y'all. Shocking revelation.
The Secret Service held its first press conference since Donald Trump was nearly executed on live TV. After stonewalling the media and congressional investigators for 3 weeks, Director Ronald Rowe made a shocking admission. Watch.
Can you confirm that this was the first 2024 campaign event that counter-sniper teams were assigned to the former president?
It was the first time Secret Service counter-snipers were deployed to support the former president's detail.
The former president of the United States and the nominee as the Republican, the man who Democrats and the media have been labeling a clear and present danger to democracy, Hitler, and a dictator, wasn't given Secret Service counter-sniper teams at his campaign rallies for the last 2 years. That means when they put Trump on trial in Manhattan, every day when he returned from court to Trump Tower, there were no Secret Service counter-snipers. The whole world knew Trump's schedule and location for 6 weeks in a city with thousands of windows and high-rises. No Secret Service counter-snipers. That means when Trump was in the Bronx, no Secret Service counter-snipers. Anyone could have climbed onto a tree, could have gone onto a rooftop with a gun. What about when he went to the bodega in Harlem after court? He's enveloped by buildings, hundreds of windows, any one of which a rifle could have fired from. No Secret Service counter-snipers. So why all of a sudden, after 2 years of no Secret Service counter-snipers, they showed up in Butler? And that was the rally where there was an attempt on his life. After the assassination attempt, the intelligence community leaked an exclusive to their friends at CNN, saying the reason they added counter-snipers to Butler was because of an Iranian threat to Trump's life. But that doesn't make any sense, because there's been an Iranian fatwa out for Trump since he whacked Soleimani. That was over 4 years ago. And when the feds were pressed about this, they admitted there wasn't any new intelligence from Iran. What a coincidence. The Secret Service surrounding Trump's been an illusion. We believe these agents were in constant communication with each other using the latest technology, technology we didn't even know about. Turns out the Secret Service counter-sniper team in Butler never had radios that day.
They knew the fatwa was out there. They knew the assassins were out there, and they took away the counter-sniper teams. Question, does Trump have counter-sniper teams now? Are they real counter-sniper teams or just desk workers from the Department of Homeland Security? Because we still have an active Iranian plot. We've just arrested the second attempted assassin. There's more. I mean, Biden administration turned loose 541 Iranians since 2023 that showed up on the border. So just asking. Just asking.
That is called Bidenomics. And we are very proud of Bidenomics.
Uh-huh. What is Bidenomics? Nobody knows. Not anymore. At least what it'll be going forward. Do you realize she held that entire rally yesterday and never mentioned inflation? Not even once. Didn't talk about the border either. Kind of weird for a border czar. How do you hold an entire rally and not mention the one issue that that people keep listing as the number one issue over and over in Gallup polling? How do you even do that? Even crazier, they launched her campaign site. It's got a lot of issues on it, but she kind of missed one. This is what's missing, Carly Shimkus pointed out this morning on Fox News.
The economy.
So we have the news this week. I'm still reeling from it, even though I predicted it. 250 terrorists from international terrorist watch lists and wanted list. These are people shot by Interpol, okay? Some of them. Come into this country. They're either caught or they turn themselves into the Department of Homeland Security. And 99 of them are released deliberately into American communities. There's been so much crazy news this week, this got buried. This is a shocking moment in American history. The moment where you realize Democrats really are serious about us coexisting with terrorists, who I think they believe are freedom fighters and future Democrat voters. So we had the story the other day, no Democrat voter terrorist will be, you know, left at home. Got to bring them here. Got to keep them here. Got to release them once we have them. So this is not an accident. There's a congressional committee that was investigating this. They got the documents turned over. This is not oopsie, the terrorist slipped by the border guard, or oopsie, we didn't realize he was a terrorist. They knew and they let him go anyway. It's been 2 days since this broke. So far, I can't find any evidence anybody's asked Alejandro Mayorkas about it, or if they have, he's stonewalling them. I don't know. Everybody dropped the story. But I want you to picture an America that works like this, because it's beginning to emerge, the shape of this. Something we haven't seen anywhere. I don't think we've seen anywhere in a Western country for certain. I don't know if we've seen anywhere in the world. A country so divided that one party deliberately lets terrorists into the country. Terrorists that want to kill the leaders of the competing party. Instead of apprehending them, they let them go. They let them wander around. And because that first party that's decided it's cool with terrorists coexisting with us is in charge of the security and guarding the life of the member of the second party, they can make it very difficult for the member of the second party to go in public and survive. And they're all in on it together. They're all in on it together. Folks, imagine for a moment you're Donald Trump or you're a Republican candidate. You've got to trust the Secret Service run by a Democrat administration to protect your very life. And after what happened last month, there's not a lot of really good reasons to trust them. And then in the back of your mind, you start to worry because you realize the country known to be sending assassins to kill you in your inner circle, that'd be Iran. They've sent not one, but two assassins. We caught them both. The latest was from Pakistan. God knows how many more there are out there. That same country, Iran, when it's not sending assassins to kill you, is sponsoring the Democrat Party's street shock troops. How would you feel about that? On the one hand, Iran is partnering with the Democrats to fund those violent street riots you've been watching. That's not my opinion. White House spokesperson John Kirby admitted it, but said, yeah, they're funding some of them, but not all, so it doesn't count. So on the one hand, they're working together, co-funding Democrat activists who like to beat up cops and tear down property, march, scream, and intimidate Jews, right? Together, working together. By the way, where did Iran get this money? Joe Biden. In 2023 alone, Joe Biden freed up $10 billion that had been frozen for Iran. So what you're watching is a massive money laundering scheme. The money gets freed up. It goes to Iran. Iran funds all its proxies. It slaughters Jews on October 7th and rewards the Democrat Party by pushing the money back into the grassroots of the Democrat Party in America. Would you trust either of those groups? We're supposed to, Donald Trump's supposed to trust the Democrat Party to keep him safe? From who? Iran? While Iran funds Democrat grassroots activity? How's that going to work long term? And if you leave the border open and let all the right assassins through, they'll get the job done for you. Folks, this is a problem. Anyway, we just caught the latest assassin, a Pakistani national with ties to the Iranian government, charged with one count murder per hire as part of an assassination plot that targeted President Donald Trump and other current and former government officials on their side. Just as strictly as strange, there's no assassination plots that we know of against Biden or Harris or any kind of Democrat. Isn't that weird? I mean, we foiled the second assassination plot. The first one was in 2021. That was Iran too. After it put a fatwa, death order, on Donald Trump and 14 of his closest compatriots, advisors, the Trump administration. Do you know there's never been a fatwa against the Democrats? No. Not against Biden, not against Harris. Iran's cool with them. Thumbs up. No, they're here to kill Trump. And they keep trying. Which makes this all the more pernicious now that I've set it up. This whole time they've known this fatwa was in place. It was put in place in 2021. After declaring Iran and no less than the Ayatollah Khomeini on his Twitter feed that he intended to kill Donald Trump and 14 others, including the former head of the CIA and the former head of the State Department, Mike Pompeo. What did Biden do? Well, rewarded Iran. That's why they think they can do whatever they want, by unfreezing the first tranche, billions of dollars. Looks like a reward to me. I mean, how would you take it if you were the Ayatollah? Let's see. I just threatened to kill the former American president and high-ranking members of his cabinet, and Joe Biden gave me billions of dollars. You know what that means. Democrats are cool with it. So you start sending assassins, because why wouldn't you? And then you're Iran. You're Iranian intelligence, and you watch this segment on Fox News of Jesse Waters, and you tell me what you'd think. You tell me if you wouldn't send a whole squad of assassins right now to do what it sure appears the Democrats want you to do, and that is take out Donald Trump and anybody who supports him. Take a listen to Jesse Waters, y'all. Shocking revelation.
The Secret Service held its first press conference since Donald Trump was nearly executed on live TV. After stonewalling the media and congressional investigators for 3 weeks, Director Ronald Rowe made a shocking admission. Watch.
Can you confirm that this was the first 2024 campaign event that counter-sniper teams were assigned to the former president?
It was the first time Secret Service counter-snipers were deployed to support the former president's detail.
The former president of the United States and the nominee as the Republican, the man who Democrats and the media have been labeling a clear and present danger to democracy, Hitler, and a dictator, wasn't given Secret Service counter-sniper teams at his campaign rallies for the last 2 years. That means when they put Trump on trial in Manhattan, every day when he returned from court to Trump Tower, there were no Secret Service counter-snipers. The whole world knew Trump's schedule and location for 6 weeks in a city with thousands of windows and high-rises. No Secret Service counter-snipers. That means when Trump was in the Bronx, no Secret Service counter-snipers. Anyone could have climbed onto a tree, could have gone onto a rooftop with a gun. What about when he went to the bodega in Harlem after court? He's enveloped by buildings, hundreds of windows, any one of which a rifle could have fired from. No Secret Service counter-snipers. So why all of a sudden, after 2 years of no Secret Service counter-snipers, they showed up in Butler? And that was the rally where there was an attempt on his life. After the assassination attempt, the intelligence community leaked an exclusive to their friends at CNN, saying the reason they added counter-snipers to Butler was because of an Iranian threat to Trump's life. But that doesn't make any sense, because there's been an Iranian fatwa out for Trump since he whacked Soleimani. That was over 4 years ago. And when the feds were pressed about this, they admitted there wasn't any new intelligence from Iran. What a coincidence. The Secret Service surrounding Trump's been an illusion. We believe these agents were in constant communication with each other, using the latest technology, technology we didn't even know about. Turns out, the Secret Service counter-sniper team in Butler never had radios that day.
They knew the fatwa was out there, they knew the assassins were out there, and they took away the counter-sniper teams. Question, does Trump have counter-sniper teams now? Are they real counter-sniper teams or just desk workers from the Department of Homeland Security? Because we still have an active Iranian plot. We've just arrested the second attempted assassin. There's more. I mean, Biden administration turned loose 541 Iranians since 2023 that showed up on the border. So just asking. Just asking.
That is called Bidenomics. Called Bidenomics, and we are very proud of Bidenomics.
Uh-huh. What is Bidenomics? Nobody knows. Not anymore. At least what it'll be going forward. Do you realize she held that entire rally yesterday and never mentioned inflation? Not even once. Didn't talk about the border either. Kind of weird for a border czar. How do you hold an entire rally and not mention the one issue that that people keep listing as the number one issue over and over in Gallup polling? How do you even do that? Even crazier, they launched her campaign site. It's got a lot of issues on it, but she kind of missed one. This is what's missing. Carly Shimkus pointed out this morning on Fox News.
The economy is, of course, the number one issue on the minds of Americans. And amazingly, if you go on Kamala Harris's campaign website, she still does not have an economic plan posted for people who may be interested in her to see.
Yeah, here's the plan. The same plan as in the midterms when they didn't have a plan either. If you're dumb enough to vote for the party that in a party line vote with no Republican votes gave you 9% inflation, then they're just going to start printing money again. And this time it'll be 12, 15, 20% inflation. And no, we still won't have a real estate market. That's the economic plan. It's literally that simple. It's a test. The plan is a test. Are Americans stupid enough to vote for what is making them poor? And if they are, it will be an indication they don't know what is making them poor, i.e. the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party will go in and they will print and loot again. They loot with the printing press now. That's her plan. See, I just explained it very simply. That's the plan. She can't put any other plan forward because all of the stuff the Democrats want to do involves printing and borrowing such a massive amount of money that she can't admit to what she wants to do. So she's just going to conduct the IQ test on you. By the way, America failed in 2022. To the common sense retirement planning text line. Texture rates. I was wondering how so many people know about and get tickets to Harris rallies. Have you ever tried to find out how to get tickets, much less the schedule? They pre-pick them, I'm sure. Texture rates. We absolutely should not be going to war for Israel. It's not our fight. It's not our war. It's not America first. The texture rates. Our military is not even prepared for full scale war. And texture writes, finally, Tara, I'm hearing your dental retreat ad while driving to the dental retreat. Cool. Drive safe. Thanks for using our advertisers. Have a great rest of the day.
That is called Bidenomics. That is called Bidenomics. And we are very proud of Bidenomics.
Uh-huh. What is Bidenomics? Nobody knows. Not anymore. It's what it'll be going forward. Do you realize she held that entire rally yesterday and never mentioned inflation? Not even once. Didn't talk about the border either. Kind of weird for a border czar. How do you hold an entire rally and not mention the one issue that that people keep listing as the number one issue over and over in Gallup polling? How do you even do that? Even crazier, they launched her campaign site. It's got a lot of issues on it, but she kind of missed one. She kind of missed one. This is what's missing, Carly Shimkus pointed out this morning on Fox News.
The economy is, of course, the number one issue on the minds of Americans. And amazingly, if you go on Kamala Harris's campaign website, she still does not have an economic plan posted for people who may be interested in her to see.
Yeah, here's the plan. The same plan as in the midterms when they didn't have a plan either. If you're dumb enough to vote for the party that in a party line vote with no Republican votes gave you 9% inflation, then they're just going to start printing money again. And this time it'll be 12, 15, 20% inflation. And no, we still won't have a real estate market. That's the economic plan. It's literally that simple. It's a test. The plan is a test. Are Americans stupid enough to vote for what is making them poor? And if they are, it will be an indication they don't know what is making them poor, i.e. the Democrat Party, and the Democrat Party will go in and they will print and loot again. They loot with the printing press now. That's her plan. See, I just explained it very simply. That's the plan. She can't put any other plan forward because all of the stuff the Democrats want to do involves printing and borrowing such a massive amount of money that she can't admit to what she wants to do. So she's just going to conduct the IQ test on you. By the way, America failed in 2022. To the common sense retirement planning text line. Texture rates. I was wondering how so many people know about and get tickets to Harris rallies. Have you ever tried to find out how to get tickets, much less the schedule? They pre-pick them, I'm sure. Texture rates. We absolutely should not be going to war for Israel. It's not our fight. It's not our war. It's not America. It's not America first. The texter writes, our military is not even prepared for full-scale war. And texter writes, finally, Tara, I'm hearing your dental retreat ad while driving to the dental retreat. Cool. Drive safe. Thanks for using our advertisers. Have a great rest of the day.